Hi, my name's Evan Fry. I'm a 2021 dental school graduate, and now I'm practicing general dentistry in the Chicago area. I've been really blessed to have had the opportunity to be involved with CMDA ever since I started dental school. Dentistry is a second career for me, and when I was looking at dental schools and figuring out things to be involved in, I was really happy that my campus at the University of Illinois had a CMDA chapter. And so I got involved starting my first year and eventually was president of that organization. And through that, met a lot of people who I'm still close to or who I was closest to all during dental school. Also got connected to really caring and exceptional faculty that were mentors through that organization. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to continuing to be involved in now that I'm practicing. It's also been great being involved with CMDA Ministries at large. After I graduated dental school, before I started practicing, I went to Nicaragua with Global Health Outreach, and it was really impactful to be able to serve others in a setting like that and to meet other CMDA dentists, dental hygienists, and physicians who are on the trip. I definitely want to be able to incorporate dental mission work in my career, whether abroad or domestically. And then it's also just been great to be exposed to all the different topics, webinars, newsletters, and events that CMDA gives me access to. I'm able to learn a lot about dentistry, but also medical issues, ethical issues, and to be able to approach these topics and hear from experts from a faith perspective is really wonderful, since typically in medicine and dentistry, everything comes from a secular viewpoint. So I've been very enriched and blessed by my experience with CMDA, even just at this early stage of my career, and I look forward to continuing to be involved in the years to come.
Hi, this is Dr. Mike Chupp, and you're listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Wow, that was a great introduction to today's podcast from Dr. Evan Fry. I'm so glad that dentists, physicians, and many other healthcare professionals just like Evan are getting involved with CMDA during their training as students, and that they see the value of this ministry as they transition into their practices. That practice of healthcare with a passion to make it ministry is truly our mission field. And CMDA is here to educate, encourage, and equip Christian healthcare professionals in that mission to glorify God in healthcare. Well, I'm joined on the podcast today by a double doctor couple who know firsthand how healthcare can be a mission field, including healthcare within the United States. In fact, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you might even recognize their voices, as they've been guests on CMDA Matters before. Doctors David and Janet Kim are from Staten Island, New York, and it's always a joy for me to hear how God is working through them at Beacon Christian Community Health Center. Let's listen in to our recent conversation with the Kims. Well, it is hard to believe, but 20 months have passed since my two guests, a husband and wife team who are both physicians, David and Janet Kim. We were together in April of 2020 at the very beginning of the COVID crisis because they were there at Ground Zero on Staten Island, where Beacon Christian Community Health Center is located, and interviewed them at that time about what they were going through. And all across America, our listeners and American public was in high anxiety mode. So it's great to have you back, David and Janet.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
How has Beacon changed almost 2 years later into the pandemic? You've settled in. I'm guessing you're 100% going in terms of seeing patients. Tell us a little bit about Beacon for those who weren't listening last year, and then how things have changed because of the pandemic there on Staten Island.
Here at Beacon Christian Community Health Center, we are a federally qualified health center serving an underserved community in Mariners Harbor, which is a community in Staten Island, which is part of New York City. Well, we have really been given a glimpse of God's faithfulness to us in the midst of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear. We have continued to stay open throughout the last 20 months, and we've continued our core operations of our clinical services. But I think one thing that's really changed for us is seeing the needs of just not just the physical, but the mental, the emotional, as well as the spiritual needs. We've had opportunities to expand to services such as a food distribution program that takes place twice a month in collaboration with other city agencies. And one of the beautiful things, there's about 70 families that comes twice a month. And every time they come, they are offered a chance to receive prayer. And our outreach team have just had stories of people whose lives have been changed, that people's conditions are starting to stabilize or improve. But oftentimes people will come and say, yes, I'm here for the food, but can I really get prayer first? Wow. And they've just demonstrated such a hunger of needing that assurance that in the midst of all this uncertainty, that God hasn't left us. So seeing that, being a part of this, that this project started as more of a short-term need because we saw that there were people who were in their homes and they had no way of getting food. And so it started off with just maybe, you know, a couple dozen families that we were touching, and that has just multiplied. In addition to that, we've also found that our mental health services were also really being taxed and maximized, and we're continuing to expand with that, with having now added on another member of the mental health team, and they've been doing an amazing work through in-person visits as well as telehealth visits, but also being able to treat children as well as adults and families. And so that's been a really great way of how we've expanded our services. And then continuing on with some other projects, with doing community outreaches, providing COVID vaccine education opportunities, and also providing pop-up vaccination clinics in the community, especially in places that are been showing a lot of vaccine hesitancy, working among some undocumented immigrant population groups as well. And we've just found that where we are in Staten Island, that the diversity is tremendous in terms of the ethnic and the cultural diversity, in addition to the socioeconomic diversity. And we've just been seeing God open doors for us to be able to be in communities that we previously had not worked closely with before.
I've been following fairly closely a state that I practice in a number of years up in Michigan. I know they're getting hit pretty hard in this, what I think has been called a fourth surge for COVID. Are you facing a surge now in the Northeast, specifically New York City? And that's part one of my question. Part two is, you know, early on in this pandemic, you guys had an incredible track record of keeping your patients out of the hospital who got COVID. Did that stick throughout the pandemic? And if so, how did you accomplish that?
You know, Mike, we really have just seen by being really closely connected with our patients, reinforcing through our social media efforts, and as well as just reinforcing the fact that our door stayed open, really was a great way to encourage our patients to seek care. I think one of the messages that hasn't been as loud is that there are things that we can do when symptoms might be mild or at the first diagnosis, and that whether it's through the outpatient protocol we developed or the use of monoclonal antibodies, we've really seen that work. But we've also seen one that didn't work. I mean, I just recently, just the day after Thanksgiving, found out a longtime patient of mine actually passed away at home. There was a family exposure of COVID, even though he tested negative with the rapid test, but he had all the COVID-like illness symptoms. And I also know that he had risk factors, and unfortunately, his vaccine status was either unknown or he chose not to be vaccinated. He is a believer, so that is one comfort that the family has, but it was sad to me that we could have done something if we knew sooner. In fact, right after his passing, his wife is also my patient. And I said, I'm so sorry I have to ask you to do this, but I really need you to get treatment to prevent any further complications for the remaining family members that are surviving. And so I think that's the hardest part, is seeing that some of this could be preventable, but at the same time, continuing that messaging that we can get through this together, that God has been so faithful in providing medications and other therapeutics now compared to where we were before.
Oh, absolutely.
And how now we can test where in the very beginning we were only testing 5 tests a week, mm-hmm. where now, you know, it's such a different environment. Going back to your question too about our surge, I think right now we haven't quite seen that greater surge that are being seen across the country. We are seeing the viral illnesses typical of this season. So we're, again, just navigating like everybody else is of how do we figure out how to make this more of an endemic situation. But again, reinforcing things with our patients, but also continuing to try to maintain the endurance that I think we all are still trying to find as we're trying to come through this.
I had a chance to surf your website a little bit this past weekend and was just really encouraged and impressed that you're pretty out front there about why you exist as Beacon. And I read for our listeners, our purpose at Beacon is to show and share the love of Jesus by promoting health and wellness and providing quality, affordable health care for Mariners Harbor, and I hadn't heard of that before, but that's your locale, and neighboring Staten Island communities. And your top 3 principles of care right off the bat include respectfully but fearlessly sharing Jesus Christ's love in word and deed. 2, uphold and promote the value and sacredness of each individual human life from conception to death, as Jesus Christ does, not favoring any one person above another because of outward appearance, ethnicity, economic, or social status. And then 3, provide Christ-centered, compassionate, and quality care to our patients, regardless of their status or their background. First of all, I just want to affirm and just appreciate that you've put that out there on the web for your community to be aware of, as well as all the healthcare professionals in your community to be aware of. But what have you seen as the benefits, as well as maybe any consequences of your clear witness in a community that I'm sure our listeners have no trouble envisioning Staten Island as being quite multicultural, in a city that is known for parading its secular and pretty anti-biblical view on so many issues that impact healthcare culture in our society?
Well, Mike, it's difficult. it's not an easy road to travel through. But, you know, I think, you know, one thing that you and I have talked about in the past is how we've really tried to base our practice of medicine on Jeremiah 29:7, right? Which Jeremiah wrote to the captives in Babylon, obviously when they were taken over. And he says there to seek the peace, or in many places, the success, or ultimately the word itself, shalom, right? To seek the shalom of the city that has enslaved you and pray for it, for in its shalom, you shall also find shalom. And I think we've really tried to take that concept of shalom all the way out to telling people about Jesus. But along the way to telling people about Jesus, you know, we also want to just be an agent for good in the community. And one tangible proof of that was just this past year when the community, you know, made it very clear that they appreciated the fact that we were the only health center that stayed fully open, mm-hmm. you know, on the outpatient basis, you know, throughout the entirety of the pandemic. That was a witness in and of itself. In working with local elected officials, local community leaders, and other partners, both sacred and secular, to be able to combat COVID, like we've combated other things in the past, H1N1, Sandy back in the early 2010s, the superstorm, you know, people know that even if they disagree philosophically with what we believe, they know that we're there for them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the number one reason why, you know, at times we face some criticism, but then we've also faced some incredible support from people who we normally wouldn't expect to get support from. So that's really been a blessing for us. And I think, you know, part and parcel with that is that people know that we really actually don't get too involved much with politics as a health center. There's a lot of health centers that do a lot of politicking, but for us, we really just focus on the people. And we don't really care, like our guiding principle state, we don't really care where you come from. We're just going to love you. And then we're going to love the person after you and the person after that and the next person we meet after that. It's something that we've gone over with our staff. Our staff has bought into that. And we put it into practice every time we open the doors and see patients in the office. I think that's probably sort of the crux as to why, you know, even in this sort of multicultural, you know, incredibly diverse community, you know, people still respect what we do.
Now, you are both part, as well as your staff, the physicians on staff and others, you are part of hospital staffs as well. I understand you have both outpatient and inpatient care responsibilities.
Right. We're actually the only community health center on Staten Island that sees patients in hospital as well as in office. And that's obviously not what it used to be like. Obviously, it used to be the doctors would go into the hospitals to see their own patients. It seems to have become increasingly rare here where we are. And so that's been another note of trust, because it allows us to not only show the patients under our care that we're going to follow them wherever they go, which obviously is a great comfort to them, but it also allows us to continue to be witnessing to the hospital administrators, to our fellow colleagues in the hospital, to the nurses. I mean, I've had nurses come up to me, you know, just all the time, you know, especially the ones that I've met, you know, recently, and say, wow, you know, nobody else comes to see patients like you guys do. You know, what makes you guys do it? It must take up so much of your time. And it gives us a chance to be able to witness, you know, why our faith compels us to do things like that. So it's been a really incredibly rich time of witnessing. As hard as it's been for us, it's been an incredibly rich time.
An overarching reason for the invitation to both of you to join me today on CMDA Matters is that we're excited, God willing, the pandemic won't slow us down or stop us this year from getting together in Southern California at California Baptist University for it'll be the third year, but only the second on-site time that we meet at California Baptist in Riverside, California for the Remedy Conference, Remedy Healing for the Nations Conference. And you're going to be plenary speakers, as well as Dr. Rick Donlan, our Memphis area director, Mr. Steve Noblett, who's the executive director of CCHF, of which you guys are a part of, and Mr. Fawad Masri, and then myself as well, all main session speakers. Would you tell our listeners what you plan to share with us in order to challenge a huge number of, even just on campus at California Baptist, I believe 6,000 pre-professional healthcare students just on that campus. And of course, we hope that many hundreds will come from outside California Baptist to attend the conference. But how are you going to challenge the audience to fully engage in bringing Christ's hope and healing to the nations? Given your history, I think since 2003, you've been together there at Beacon representing Christ before the nations.
Yeah, the word inspire comes to mind. My hope and my prayer is that those who do attend the Remedy meeting would walk away inspired as to how God is bringing us to be able to care for those coming from all different nations, and to be able to not just provide care, but also to share the gospel message of hope that's embodied in Christ's power and the wisdom of God being Jesus. I think what's been impressive to me is that, you know, oftentimes we think to make an impact for Jesus that I must go on a plane or go travel somewhere else because, you know, there's a need there and we need to go. And while I love and respect my brothers and sisters who work in overseas missions, God is also bringing the nations to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding that before we used to think that they were in these urban centers like Los Angeles and New York City. And while there are population densities around the country, you know, like that, there's also some movement going about where into the smaller communities, into the rural areas, there's migrant communities there or people of immigrant backgrounds, whether they're documented or not. And, you know, whether they're coming from a refugee settlement program or other ways that it's not just in the urban centers, but it's actually touching all of us, no matter where we are, big or small, whether it's a community hospital or a large academic institution, that God is bringing people of different nationalities and different worldviews, oftentimes that are our neighbors right next door. And so my hope and prayer is that we would all walk away being not only challenged, but really inspired that we don't have to go far to make that kind of an impact, and that, you know, God's passion and his heart is for the nations. You know, in Revelation talks about how every tribe, every nation is all gathered together when at the very end at the banquet table at the end of time. And I think it's not something that's out there that is as hard to achieve. It's actually as easy as just looking right around us in our neighborhood and the little things that can really cause these conversations that perhaps might be life-changing.
Yeah, just to add on a little bit to what Jana was talking about, you know, I'm probably going to be handling the majority of the plenary, and Jana's probably going to be handling the majority of the breakout session we're going to have as well. You know, the breakout's going to talk mostly about, you know, sort of the ways that we and Christian healthcare look out upon the world that we're called to serve in. The plenary is going to sort of set the stage for that by basically, amongst other things, challenging the idea that we're always told what to do. And obviously this conference is going to show people a number of things that they could do. But before we even talk about what we do, and obviously what we do matters, you know, we need to first figure out who we are and what we are and what God has made us to be, and why knowing that is so critically important to deciding, to helping us decide, and also to helping us understand what God is telling us what we should actually do. Right. So what we do matters, but why does it matter? And that's a question we're going to explore in both the plenary and the breakout, you know, so as to help people have a framework by which to examine with God what he is calling them to do in these various realms of healthcare.
David, you know, I was just recalling that you invited me. You were persistent. It was the first national convention back in 2017 when I had come to CMDA. David Stevens, right, and Gene Rudd invited me, and you say, I really want to talk to you because I really feel that CMDA and CCHF are such important partners, I think is how you put it, and they have their own different strengths to bring to the table to care for the poor in Jesus' name. And I was only in my fourth month, actually, as executive vice president when you sat down with me there at Ridgecrest. And what I heard was something like CCHF, Christian Community Health Fellowship, for our listeners who don't know what those initials mean, and CMDA both share a heart for demonstrating Christ's love to patients and their families, and that you saw that CMDA contributes an important emphasis on a strong stand on biblical truth, which, of course, impacts how we do patient care, respecting human dignity, and CCHF's emphasis continues to be on incarnational ministry among the poor and marginalized, being the hands and feet of Christ. So could you, now it's 4 years later and I'm the CEO, could you unpack that just a little bit for our listeners, what you shared with me at that time?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. I know that there might be a number of my colleagues in CCHF that might be listening to this as well. And I got to tell you, it has been an absolute blessing for me and Janet to be involved in both CCHF and CMDA. Steve Noblet has become a dear brother to us, and we always welcome him when he dares to venture out into the wilds of New York City to meet up with us. You know, the interesting thing about CCHF and CMDA is that there are various facets of the same ultimate goal, right? I mean, we are all in the business, or if you will, the calling of bringing Jesus, you know, into the exam rooms, bringing Jesus into the communities, bringing Jesus into the world wherever we are, right? And we've all been called in some way, shape, or form to be ambassadors for Jesus and for the kingdom that he represents and for the kingdom that he owns. And so how CCHF does it and how CMDA does it, you know, they're different. But I think the key thing is to realize that God has called people in CMDA to serve in specific ways, particular ways. And God's also called people in CCHF to serve in particular ways that are going to benefit the specific people that he's called them to minister to. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where Jan and I enjoy the benefits of sort of being involved in both organizations, because, you know, we are working amongst the poor, but we're not exclusively working amongst the poor. You know, we've talked about in the past how the poor is not just socioeconomic, but it's also spiritual, right? And so ultimately, we're ultimately dealing with spiritual poverty at the bottom of it all. And so, you know, our ability to work with CMDA and CCHF to uniquely fulfill our vision that God, we believe, has given us here in New York City has been an incredible blessing to us. And I think it's that kind of synergy that I know that, you know, those of us that are involved in both CCHF and CMDA, and there's a handful of us that are, you know, we would love to see more of that synergy developing between the two ministries, because that's ultimately the goal, right? It's not about who gets to do what. It's ultimately about how God gets glorified and what is the vehicle he is using, whether it be CMDA or CCHF, to get his message out to the people he wants to get the message out to. So, I'm really excited to be looking at seeing all of you guys, including Steve, at Remedy, Lord willing, and we're going to actually have it in Los Angeles this time, and being able to really kind of revel in that oneness of spirit that's going to allow us to ultimately be part of God's transformation for this world.
Well, one of the ways that we certainly are working together, albeit it's still early on, is through a program that you're both aware of that Rick Donlan, one of the other plenary speakers, is directing, and that's a program at CMDA we call the Fellowship Plus program. And honestly, it's a whole lot like what I experienced my first 3 years in practice in Michigan. There was no Fellowship Plus program. I knew nothing about CCHF, but I joined a massive group of Christian doctors who mentored me, encouraged me, and then booted me and sent me to Africa after 3 years. So I had a little bit of a huge fellowship that prepared me for service in Christ's name. And so both in Memphis now and also in Detroit environs, we've got a couple of communities that remind me a whole lot, like the missionary community I served with in Kenya, encouraging one another, living among the people you serve, and doing some house church. So that has been a delight for me to see develop a vision of our former Vice President for Dental Ministry, Jeff Amstutz, and now Rick is capably leading that. And do you see something like that possibly working on Staten Island?
We've actually been doing some pretty unique city-specific ministry with students. You know, we have a teaching component to our health center called Beacon 360, beacon360.org. And we've been going around to the campuses. We've been starting to teach some of the concepts that we've learned along the way that has helped Beacon to get to where it is by the grace of the Lord. You know, we offer summer rotation as well as, you know, monthly rotations at our office and our health center sites to kind of give students and residents an immersion experience using both the laboratory that Beacon is in and of itself, you know, with patient care, but also with didactic sessions where we explore key components of what it means to be a Christian in healthcare. And so we have set didactic sessions where we engage the students as well. So I think there's definitely some synergy that we could have with Rick. I mean, I've known Rick for a very long time. Been a mentor to me and Janet, and I tell people, you know, without Rick and his support in the past, you know, he's one of the main reasons why Beacon got off the ground in the first place many, many years ago. So, I think there's definitely some synergy there. And we also obviously, as I said, have a unique situation in New York City where we have a unique place to do training and teaching for our students, which we've already been doing.
Well, you guys do a great job receiving students on electives. And I was just at a Medical Education International Council meeting and heard from one of our directors, mission directors, that we have 10 scholarships, 10 different scholarships with plenty of funds available for students who are looking to do an elective in a place like Beacon. And so just have to go onto our website if they're interested, students who are listening or residents, in fact, or faculty who are listening that have students in your life that you really want to encourage to get this kind of an experience like you would have with the Kims and their staff. Just check out our website, especially under missions, and you can find all kinds of opportunities. And we've also opened up new opportunities for scholarships for minority students, wanting to encourage our minority students across the country to get involved in missions as well.
Yeah. And then, Mike, just so you know, for anyone listening, if there's anyone that has a specific interest in sort of exploring the mission field of New York City, they're more than welcome to email us at welcome@beacon360.org. That's our receiving email for students and residents who are interested in exploring, you know, a little bit more of life with us at the health center.
Yeah, I want to encourage our listeners to do just that and just go straight to the source of the information about Beacon from its founders. Well, as we wrap up the program, could one or both of you share with us about what are your greatest needs right now in the midst of this incredible multicultural mission field called New York City? You've already told us about an email of how they can get a hold of you, and you've also shared about students and our residents. And do you accept grad members as volunteers from time to time?
We do. And, you know, we had shared early on about new areas that God's taken us. And we are actually looking to expand to add additional services. So we are actually looking for expanding into a dental as well as into optometry. So again, the email that we wanted to share again is welcome@beacon360.org. We are able to, to work with anyone, especially if they're interested in volunteering. They can reach out to that email address. But God is doing some amazing things. And, I think we always see in scripture that the story doesn't always go according to what our human knowledge would expect. And that, the Bible talks about too, that God's wisdom, shames the wisest of human individuals. And so how in the midst of all of what's happening with this current pandemic and in the world to now be expanding into new services was definitely not something that we had ever planned for, but we are always looking for, additional primary care providers. And at one point at one CCHF conference, somebody stood up and said, if you love Jesus, I'd like to talk to you, because we are always looking for people who love Jesus and love people and want to be able to share their heart and passion with people. Here in New York City, where it's definitely a rarity when we find those individuals who want to live out their call in that way.
Well, as we close the program, I've been talking to Drs. David and Janet Kim of Beacon Christian Community Health Center, and a couple of places Paul talks about who we are and what we're all about. And to the Colossians, he says, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives, and that whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And wow, do you guys do that so well. I just want to thank you for your faithfulness. And he told the Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So thank you for, since 2003, faithfully doing that there in New York City. And I want to encourage our listeners to check out the website, excellent website I was checking out this weekend. And look forward to seeing you both in a warm, sunny place called Riverside, California.
Absolutely.
You know, Janet's words still resonate with me about how God is bringing the nations to us. And oftentimes, they are even our neighbors right next door, which means we don't have to travel far to make a cross-cultural impact in our multicultural communities. In fact, it has been estimated that less than 5% of Christian healthcare students and residents will leave the U.S. to do career healthcare missions. This means that more than 95% of Christians who are preparing for careers in healthcare will actually practice inside the United States. So that begs this question: are you listening for God's call for you to bring the remedy, the hope and healing of Jesus Christ, to a world in crisis, to your patients, to your staff and colleagues who will come to your office or clinic every day? God's call on your life as a healthcare professional is not any less vital than his call on those who will do career healthcare missions overseas. So what are you doing to prepare yourself to be on mission every single day at the office, in the clinic, or in the hospital? Remedy 22 will challenge you to listen for God's call on your life to serve and practice right here in your own backyard, to surround you with a community of people who follow a similar calling, and to provide resources to help make it all happen. So join us, would you, at California Baptist University on February 26th and 27th, 2022, for a weekend of encouragement, refreshment, and heartfelt challenge. David and Janet will be speaking, plus you will hear from Dr. Rick Donlin, Mr. Steve Noblet of CCHF, Fuad Masri, myself, and others. Seats are filling up fast, so you don't want to wait to register. You can visit cmda.org/remedy to reserve your spot today. I'm incredibly encouraged after listening to David and Janet share about their work treating COVID patients and how through it all, they have relied on their faith in Christ to sustain them in these hard times. Like all of us, their work and their lives have been impacted by the pandemic these many months. If you're feeling burned out after nearly 2 years of battling this virus, I want to encourage you to reach out to CMDA's Center for Well-Being. We've talked about this before on the podcast, and we're going to continue to talk about it because your well-being and your health is so important to us at CMDA. You pour yourself out for others every single day, and this is the place to be refilled. Our coaches at CMDA want to help you find the sweet spot of life again, to help you find or regain what the Bible calls shalom. If you'd like more information, just visit cmda.org/wellbeing or click the link in our show notes today. Well, all of you women who are listening, this next announcement is specifically for you. If you're looking for fellowship and community within healthcare, then you don't want to miss the Women Physicians and Dentists in Christ virtual conference on February the 5th, 2022, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Joy Walton is our feature speaker as we focus on running the race, enduring in the Christian faith. You want to mark your calendars now and be sure to visit cmda.org/events for more information. Well, the last couple of weeks I've been talking about our year-end giving campaign goal of $670,000. And we've had a wonderful donor willing to match the first $100,000. I have great news that we have reached that $100,000 for the match. Praise God. And so I want to encourage you with that good news, but to also consider we still have a ways to go to reach that target of just under $700,000. If you've not taken the time to give yet, would you prayerfully consider the impact that you have when supporting the mission of your CMDA? And then give as generous a gift as you can this year. We've made it easy to give your gift. Just visit cmda.org/give or contact our stewardship team at CMDA, 888-230-2637, or just email us, stewardship@cmda.org. Thank you so much, and may the peace of our Savior's birth fill your hearts with joy during this Advent season. Well, next week, be sure to join me because we will have longtime friend and champion of CMDA, a name that's recognized by so many of you, Dr. John Patrick. He'll be sharing a special Christmas testimony, a one-of-a-kind telling of the story of the Annunciation to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, don't forget, if you want to suggest a future guest for the podcast, you can just email us at cmdamatters, one word, at cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share us on your favorite social media platform today. As always, thank you so much for listening to CMDA Matters. In closing today, I want to repeat the challenge that David Kim shared with us earlier when we were discussing the upcoming Remedy 22 conference. We are all in the calling of bringing Jesus into the exam rooms, David told us. Bringing Jesus into the communities. Bringing Jesus into the world wherever we are. We've all been called in some way, shape, or form to be ambassadors for Jesus. You, friends, are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. As this year comes to a close and we prepare to welcome in a new year, it's my prayer that Jesus will speak to your heart and help you find new ways to be His ambassador in your practice, in your clinic, in the hospital, wherever you are, wherever God's placed you. And in doing so, you will bring the hope and healing of Christ to our world. That's the vision of CMDA. That's what matters to CMDA. And CMDA Matters. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.